God is spirit, and he invites us to worship him in spirit and in truth. The life, death, and resurrection of Jesus has made a way for us to know God personally and to make him known to the world. And we who know Jesus now make our home together as a spiritual people. We grow together as a spiritual family, and we invite others to worship God in this spiritual house.
Well, good morning, Mosaic. Man, it is good to be with you guys today. My name is Joel. I am one of the pastors here, and we are continuing our series called This Spiritual House. If you've been with us for a while, you know that we just finished traveling through 1 Peter together, and it was incredible to see all that God said through his letter sent out to the entire Roman Empire, to all of the followers of Jesus there. And there was this one particular verse that really jumped out to us. Of course, many of them did, because 1 Peter is so good. But one particular verse that jumped out to us as we were traveling through that kind of really birthed the idea for this series. And I want to go there real quick before we jump into the rest of our passages today and remind us of what that is, and we'll jump off together. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. If you want to look it up real quick, it's on page 1117 of the Mosaic Bibles, or if you're looking in a smart device, you can look in the English Standard Version. And Peter says this, and he's talking about Jesus being this cornerstone, this foundational stone, this chosen and precious stone that is the most important stone in the foundation of this spiritual house. And he says this in verse 5. He says, as you come to him in verse 4, he says, verse 5, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. And Peter is drawing from this analogy of the temple, where in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel, the temple was where the house of God was. It's where the presence of God resided. And in this New Testament picture that Peter is painting for us, God is doing something new and different in that we are now the house of God. You and I, as followers of Jesus, are a temple, and we are living stones. I love that analogy because there ain't nothing more dead than a rock. You know what I'm saying? It's just about as dead as it can be. But this picture of a living stone, that we are being built up together into this new temple, this spiritual house, where together you and I now as the church carry the presence of God. What a beautiful picture. And over the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about this spiritual house that God is building, where we together, like living stones, come together on Jesus, who is the foundation. And if you were with us 2 weeks ago, Dave talked about what it looks like to make this our home. Recognizing that this thing we do called church, it's not like an event where you go buy tickets on StubHub and show up, right? That this is not just a place, a production where other people are doing church and you're coming to attend that. That it's not that at all. In fact, it is a home where people who are following Jesus, we come together and we live in this home together as we journey together toward Jesus. And that's really what God hoped for and desired for when he created the church. And so we make this our home. And then last week, Dave talked about this idea that we get to know our family inside the home, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ together. Regardless of our background, regardless of our socioeconomic status or our race or any of those things that tend to be dividing walls in our culture, different occupations, different hopes and dreams, different passions, that we all come together and that we are built into this spiritual house where we are family together, that we are the family of God. And that's such a beautiful picture. And this week, we're going to talk about what it looks like to invite others into the family. What it looks like to invite others into the home. If you've been with us for a while, you know that this year, 2019, the vision of this year is that we are going to be people of prayer who commune with God, that we engage with the Holy Spirit through this incredible discipline of the faith called prayer. And then beyond that, we're going to invite others into the story through evangelism, which is not just being a gospel presence, but also being a gospel voice and telling the story of what Jesus did when he came to this planet to rescue us from our sin. And he lived a perfect life that we should have lived, but we didn't. And then he died a death on the cross that we deserved for our sin and resurrected to new life so that we could have eternal life by faith in him. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus. And it's incredible that we have the privilege not only to be recipients of that good news, but also participants by inviting people to come and know their Creator and to be in right relationship with God and to be people who have light life and freedom. And that's our goal this year. That's our hope this year, that we would grow as people intimate with God through prayer and people bold to take the good news of Jesus to everyone in our spheres of influence, our family members, our neighbors, our coworkers, our friends at school, whatever our situation looks like, that we would be bold to take the good news of Jesus to the world. And what an incredible invitation that is. And so as we step in today and we think about what it might look like to invite others in, I'm kind of brought to this space where as Peter is writing 1 Peter, and he comes to chapter 2, verse 5, and he's talking about these living stones that we are being built into. I would not be surprised, I would not be shocked if Peter, as he's writing that, were drawing upon an experience that he had with the other disciples as they were doing ministry with Jesus while Jesus was on planet Earth. And I want to go there together because we're going to see some beautiful, beautiful demonstration of what Jesus had in mind when he was putting us together as living stones. So let's grab our Bibles. We're going to go back into the ministry of Jesus during the four Gospels, into the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 13. Now, if you have one of the Mosaic Bibles, you'll find that on page 911. If you're using a smart device, English Standard Version or ESV will get you there. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 is where we're going to start. And to just kind of paint the picture and set the scene of what's going on at this time during Jesus' ministry, Jesus is a guy, he is from Nazareth, which is really the middle of nowhere. Not a lot happening in Nazareth. It's kind of the Groveland, Florida of the Middle East, right? If you live in Groveland, I love you. I am impressed that you drive all this way to come and be a part of Mosaic. And there's a lot of land out there. It's beautiful, but not a lot going on in Groveland. You know what I'm saying? I think they built a new Publix, which is awesome. Shopping is a pleasure there, so that's good. But you know, Jesus, he is teaching, he is preaching, he is going around, he's doing miracles, people are being healed, people are hearing teaching they've never heard before. He's teaching as a rabbi with authority, and he's gaining a reputation, and people are starting to kind of wonder who he is and what he's all about. And he's having this conversation with his disciples, and the conversation's so cool because Jesus asks them a question. One of the things that he does so well is teaching by asking questions. And so he asked the disciples, hey, who are people saying that the Son of Man is? Now, Son of Man is a title of the Messiah. This is Jesus' favorite title of himself. It's found in the book of Daniel. And he asks the disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And the disciples kind of throw out some answers, and really, it's just kind of what different theories might be out there, and some of them are a little bizarre, but he asks them that question, and they throw out some answers. So let's read it together. Jesus says, who do people, in verse 13, say the Son of Man is? Verse 14, they answer, well, some say John the Baptist. Maybe your cousin John, he was a pretty powerful preacher as well. Maybe he's the Son of Man. Others say Elijah. Others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Maybe someone who's already come and gone, which that would be very strange had the Messiah already come and gone, because the Messiah was supposed to do some pretty major epic things. And so those are the running theories that are the word on the street that are being talked about out there, Jesus. And so Jesus replies, he said to them, but who do you say I am? First question, Who do people say the Son of Man or the Messiah is? Well, there's theories. Jesus then hones in and he says, but who do you say I am? I love it because it's a very subtle way that Jesus is claiming to be the Messiah in this moment. But in addition to that, he's asking a very pointed question that I think if you were listening in as Eric was sharing, maybe you heard this question asked of you this morning. And it's the most important question anyone can ever be asked. Who do you say Jesus is? As Eric read from that passage during our time of worship this morning, he asked that question. And that question is paramount. It matters more than anything else that we'll ever answer. What do we want to be when we grow up? Or who do we want to marry? Or what's our life's purpose? Those kinds of questions that we get from time to time. What do you do for work? All of that kind of stuff. Yeah, those are important things, but nothing compares to this question. Who do you say I am? Jesus asked that question of his disciples. And Peter, who wrote 1 Peter, Peter was the kind of the lead disciple. He was the oldest of all of the 12 disciples of Jesus. He was kind of the first one who would jump out with an answer. Most of the time it was wrong. If you know anybody who's like a ready, fire, aim sort of guy, that's Peter, or sort of gal, that's who Peter is, that's his personality. I may know someone similar to him, his name rhymes with Renault, and I'm actually a lot like that as well. I identify with Peter a lot, and so Peter jumps out and he answers, and this time he actually gets it right. So here he says in verse 16, Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ," and that's just the Greek term for the Jewish term Messiah. He says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Peter basically declares Jesus is Messiah and he's God all in one breath, which for a Jewish person, if you say someone is God and they're not God, that's a big no-no. That's called blasphemy. And in the Jewish religious system, they would stone you to death for that, right? So that's like one of those moments where you're like, I really hope I'm tracking with you, Jesus, here. You know, like in church, Jesus is always the right answer, right? And so Peter kind of gives it, and he's like, I hope this is right. You know, Jesus, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. And he actually did get that right, so we don't have to stone Peter, which is good. Verse 17, Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you." You didn't just learn this somewhere. No one taught you this, but my Father who is in heaven is the one who revealed this to you. That's awesome. And he says, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, the rock of revelation of who I am, the foundation that says Jesus is the Christ, he is the Son of God, he is our hope, he is the one to come who lived and died and who will resurrect, who will save the world from sin." Like his cousin John said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Peter is right on, and he says this, verse 18. I love what he says next. He says, "On this rock of revelation of who I am, I will build my church," this spiritual house that we're talking about. "I will build my church." And I love the next thing he says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Wow. Now, what a term, the gates of hell. Now, if you think about hell, we know that's a bad place, right? We know it's a place like I don't want to go to there, right? The gates of hell. And you think about what gates are all about, and it's easy for us because we live in the land of gated communities, right? Mickey Mouse and gated communities, that's Orlando, Florida. And gates are meant to do really one thing. They're meant not to keep people in. I mean, maybe depending on your homeowners association, you feel like that's actually what the gates are for. Just trap us in like a prisoner, right? No, gates are actually meant to keep people out. So listen to the concept that Jesus is saying here. He's saying, on the rock of revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against that. Now, what does that mean? It means that Jesus is actually daring us to storm the gates of hell. And he's promising us that they will not stand up against the good news of who he is. Y'all, we can pray and be done. That's it. You know what I'm saying? We don't need much more. Let's just close her down. Because that's so empowering. That's so inviting that we get to be recipients of what Jesus has done in our lives and participants in inviting others to be a part of this, knowing that there is nothing that can stop the movement forward of the gospel in the kingdom of God, even the gates of hell. Sure, clap away. This is awesome. This is so incredible. And so Jesus is saying in this moment, on this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I'm sure as Peter is writing in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, that we are these stones that are being built, living stones, being built up together to form this spiritual house upon the rock, the foundation that is Jesus and knowing Jesus, that we're going to be built into this spiritual house where we offer these sacrifices to our God who loves us and created us. And all he wants is us to know him and to make him known. What a beautiful picture it is to be a part of this spiritual house where we invite others in, and even the gates of hell will not prevail against us. I love that. And I love that Jesus, he kind of has built this idea on something that he taught a little bit earlier in Matthew chapter 5 during the Sermon on the Mount. And he says, you who know me, you are the light of the world. You're like a city that's set on a hill. You're like a lamp that's burning, and no one covers up a lampstand. A lamp. Instead, they put it on the lampstand so that everybody can see the light. And what Jesus is saying is, listen, on the rock of who I am, I'm going to build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. And you are the light of the world. So this place of death and darkness, this place, hell, all it really needs is for us to invade the darkness with light. That we are the light of the world. That we are those that we are being invited to participate by bringing the light of Jesus everywhere we go. This is why at Mosaic, we engage in difficult things. This is why we step into things like foster care or safe families or adoption. This is why we lovingly care for children with special needs. This is why we step into things like, our marriage is struggling. Can you help us out? And we engage with that. This is why we work on things like poverty alleviation. This is why we engage in world mission and church planting. Because we believe that God is calling us as the light of the world to invade the darkness. And we know that because of the good news of who Jesus is, and because the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and it's expanding, we know that the gates of hell will not prevail. And God will use us to be recipients and participants of the good news of who he is, as we, who were once a part of the darkness, have now been brought into the light, as we now shine our light before others so that they would see our good works and then glorify the Father who is in heaven. That's what Jesus talks about in Matthew chapter 5. And that is our invitation. And early in the story of the New Testament church, Jesus had come and he lived and he died and he resurrected and he gathered his people at the resurrection, after the resurrection, at the ascension. Jesus is standing there and his disciples are there and they're about to watch him rise back up into heaven. And they're like, Jesus, where are you going? When are you coming back? And Jesus says, hey, listen, don't worry too much about that. Here's what I want you to know. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's going to be your helper. He's going to empower you to go take the good news of who I am to the ends of the earth. And I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit and you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And as the disciples see him ascending into heaven and they receive the power of the Holy Spirit 40 days later, what you begin to see unfold is this incredibly beautiful picture of what this spiritual house is actually supposed to look like. It's in Acts chapter 2. I want us to go together there. We've been visiting this passage over the last 2 weeks, and we're going to be here today as well. Acts chapter 2, and the passage is from 42 through 47, and we're going to be on page 1008 of the Mosaic Bibles. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. It's right after the Gospels. It's the story of the early New Testament church. And what you see, and I love the way the English Standard Version gives a heading for this, it says the fellowship of the believers. That the believers are together and that they have this fellowship, this community, this beautiful reality that's unfolding. And listen to this, Acts 2:42. It says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and the prayers. That they were devoted to being a part of this new thing that God had created called the church. And awe, verse 43, came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed, all of the followers of Jesus, were together and had all things in common. And listen to how radical they were in being together and how radical they were in caring for each other. Verse 45, and they were selling their possessions and belongings, like they were getting on Facebook Market, Craigslist, making it happen. Whatever we got, whatever we can contribute, let's do it. They were selling their possessions and belongings, and then they were distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They had such a tight-knit community that they actually were aware of the needs around them, and then they went and did something about it. They sold their possessions. They sold their property. They did what they needed to do to ensure that the believers who were together, that their needs were met. This is radical. It wasn't a government program. It wasn't anything like that. It was people saying, I'm following Jesus and I'm going to care for the others who are following Jesus as well. Incredibly beautiful. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple together. So this is a large gathering that they were coming together, attending the temple, worshiping the God of Israel, but knowing that he is Jesus. They're coming together in a large group, similarly to what we do today. We come together here at Mosaic. It's not a temple. It used to be an Appliance Direct. Now it's a church. It's a building. We're the church. This is a building. And so we come together kind of like they did then, and we worship God together through singing. We worship God together through the disciplines of the faith. We worship God together as we open up his word and commune together in it. That's this temple idea. And in addition to that, they were breaking bread in their homes. They were coming together in their homes in a more intimate setting where they can spend time having conversations with one another, digging into each other's lives, eating together. It says they were breaking bread in their homes. They received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. So this community that God had formed, this spiritual house that God had formed around who Jesus is, was so beautifully tight-knit because they had fellowship around Jesus and they knew one another's needs and they sacrificed to meet one another's needs. This beautiful community was formed and they were praising God with their lives and they had favor with all the people. So all the people are looking in on this community going, something's special, something's different, something is unique about this community of Jesus followers. I want in. Can I be a part of this? And they began to invite others in. And we see that in the result of that at the end of verse 47. It says, this is beautiful. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. See, this is the result of a spiritual house being formed on the foundation of Jesus, where living stones, we who were dead, are now made alive, and we come together around the idea of following after Jesus as his church, that we are now the temple of God, that we are now the presence of God, that we carry light, life, and freedom everywhere we go. And that this spiritual house, as we love one another, what did Jesus say? You will know, people will know you are my disciples by the way you love one another. So as we love one another, what is the result of that? We form a community that's unique and different and beautiful, and people say, I want in on that. And as a result, we get to then, after demonstrating the gospel through our lives, we get to then proclaim the gospel with our words and invite people to join the story. And I love the result in Acts chapter 2, that daily Day by day, people were being added to their number, those who were being saved. And we're seeing that here at Mosaic. Not that we see someone like cross into relationship with Jesus every single day, but people all around us are journeying toward Jesus. And we are seeing people come to know Jesus on a consistent basis. And we celebrate that through baptisms. And it's a beautiful thing to see what God is forming here. Not that it's just a big crowd of people, but that we are coming together as followers of Jesus, saying, I want to pursue my Creator, and I want to live for His glory, and I want to invite other people to be a part of that as well. See, day by day, people coming to know Jesus, what a miracle that is. And it's amazing that we get to participate in that miracle by being the community of God that He invites us to be, and by inviting others in and making our home a place where others feel welcome, feel loved, feel cared for, that there's some coffee, there's a donut, or some strawberries if you want to be healthy. You should eat strawberries sometimes, unless you're allergic. That's a bad idea then, okay? Don't take health advice from a random pastor. All right, so this idea of inviting other people in means that we have to be a community that people would want to be a part of. And the only way we can do that is if we center our lives around who Jesus is, and we allow His love for us to make us love Him. And as we respond to that, then we begin to love our neighbor as ourselves. And as people look in on this community, they say, man, I want to be a part of that. And here's the thing. I love that I get to preach this sermon today, because this sermon today isn't about we're not doing something and we really should be doing something. So let's get with the program, people, so we can do something right. And then everything will go well. That's not what this sermon's about. What's so beautiful is that this idea that we're talking about, it's already happening at Mosaic. What an awesome, yeah, clap about it. That's great. I'll slip you that $5 bill later. Okay, so this is already happening at Mosaic, and we see it and we experience it. Maybe many of you have experienced it in your own lives. Maybe some of you are kind of new to the story and you're hoping to experience it, and that's our heart for everyone here. But I want to share a couple of stories today, because this is really happening here at Mosaic. And it's just an encouragement that we just continue to do what God has called us to do. It's to know Him and to make Him known. It's what we have plastered on our exit, that we demonstrate our passion for God and His passion for people. Listen to these two stories. The first story is a story from a lady named Andel. She says, a year and a half ago, my family started attending Mosaic after asking our realtor where he and his family attended. We knew no one and had moved from a city and from attending a church that we had developed deep roots in relationship for almost 14 years. So you can imagine they're coming away from a church, maybe like Mosaic, that they loved, had deep community and relationship, and they're moving to a place where they don't know anybody. And their realtor says, I go to Mosaic, right? So she says, I reached out to Mosaic's Coffee Connect team. Hey, Mosaic Connect, if you're here, you guys are amazing. Well, I love you guys. I love you. You do such a great job. My brother and my mom came for Easter Sunday, and my brother attends a different church. My mom does as well. They live a little bit far away, and they came, and my brother said, man, I walked into that building, and before I hit my seat, I was genuinely greeted by like 14 people. It's amazing the environment that Mosaic Connect provides here at Mosaic, where people feel welcome, feel loved, feel engaged with. And they even go the next step so that it's not just a hello on a Sunday morning, but there's this thing called Coffee Connection. So we'll actually meet with you and sit down with you and hear your story and help you connect to Mosaic. It's awesome. If you're here and you're like, I would love to get connected, but I don't know how, sign up for that. It's great. So this lady, she says, I reached out to Mosaic's Coffee Connect team only after a few weeks of attending and met someone over a cup of coffee within a couple of days. What a godsend she has been to our family. I felt a sense of community immediately. A few months later, this coffee connector that I now call a dear friend, how beautiful is that? Unexpectedly met me at the emergency room after my oldest daughter became ill, passed out, and had seizures. Seeing her sweet face, waiting there as we frantically entered the emergency room gave me such a comfort. Not having friends or family nearby, you could probably imagine how much this meant to our family to see a familiar face. After receiving such love and care, I decided that coffee connection is right where I want to serve. Listening to others' stories, hearing what they're passionate about, praying for them, and hopefully helping others a little as they start to navigate their journey in becoming part of the Mosaic family. Man, like, that is inviting others in, right? That is going out of your way, saying, I'm going to clear my schedule and spend time with someone just so that they can get connected to the family of God. What a beautiful thing. And for this particular lady, she was a follower of Jesus already. She just needed a great church, and that's awesome. And how many times do we have the opportunity to do that sort of thing with people who don't even know Jesus yet? And what an incredible thing. And the second story I want to share with you is it's actually from my own life. My wife and I, while we're doing this spiritual house, my wife and I just bought a physical house, and boy, it's a fixer-upper, okay? Everywhere you turn in this house is a project. And my construction skills basically end at lefty-loosey, righty-tighty. You know what I'm saying? I got that one locked down, all right? But other than that, this brother needs some help, okay? I need some help with construction. I'm not that handy. And it's been amazing to see. My wife drives up to the house the other day. It was a couple of days after we had closed on the house. And there is an army of people there helping us. And as she's pulling up, her tears just begin to stream down her face. In addition to this, this shows you how sane people we are. We also have a four-month-old baby at home with us at home. Where do we even live right now? So we have this four-month-old baby. We have this house that's a fixer-upper. So we move out of our old house, and our plan is to move into this house once it's like livable. And we had a plan in place. It was brilliant. We were going to stay with Lauren's parents while we were doing this renovation. Well, that was brilliant, except for my dog and their dog tried to murder each other the first day that we were there. And so we quickly realized, like, this isn't going to work. And about within 12 hours, maybe even less than that, we kind of talked through what are we going to do. Really was like, it was within 2 hours. Lauren reached out to someone who goes here to Mosaic, and they opened their home for us to come live with them for the whole month of July while we work on this renovation. That happened because someone here at Mosaic had some space in their house, and they said, hey, wait, is there someone who may have a need? We're going to keep this space open so that when someone has a need, we're going to take care of that need. Like, amazing, right? And so, yeah, you can clap for that too. Man, this is getting expensive, you know? All these $5 bills I'm going to be shelling out after the service. So you know, here we are. We're staying in someone else's house that Mosaic Church provided. We had planned to stay with our like biological family, but then our church family opened their home so that we can live with our dog and our crying baby, by the way, in their home. And their hospitality has been amazing. It's been incredible. In addition to that, we have people coming over to our house. Yesterday, literally, these people set up a work day for us. So people show up at our house yesterday. They're doing yard work. They're trimming trees. They are inside our house painting. They are watching our baby. And all of these things are happening because we are a part of a spiritual family, a spiritual house, where we look to meet one another's needs in creative ways, where we bring our skills to the table and we say, what is it, God, that you could do through my life to demonstrate what you are doing in the world? What could I do to demonstrate your love to others? And people are stepping in and they're doing that. And there's hundreds, thousands of stories just like this that happen on a weekly, monthly basis here at Mosaic Church. Some of you have been a recipient of that. Some of you have been a participant in that. And here's the call today. Here's the invitation today. Here's the incredible thing that we're being invited into. God is saying, listen, if you follow after me, I've put you together as a family, as a spiritual house. Let's be the kind of community that when people look in, they would say, and I want to be a part of that. I mean, we live in a world that is digitally connected, but physically isolated. There's so many of us, we've got friends on Facebook, but no real community. And something like this, man, it's attractive, it's beautiful. And it tells the story of God. And that is the invitation that you and I sit here today where God is calling us and inviting us into, to become this spiritual house, this spiritual people built on the foundation of Jesus, Christ as the foundation, and we together as living stones being built up together to invite others in. So, Mosaic, let's make this our home, right? Let's get to know our family, and let's invite others in. Let's see what God does. I bet you about 100 years from now, when all of us are dead, spoiler alert, you're like, well, church was so encouraging today until the very end, right? When all of us are dead, and when we're with Jesus in eternity, may we look back on these years and say, man, you know, there was a lot of other things pulling for my attention, other opportunities, things I could have done, pleasures I could have sought, opportunities I could have chased after, but I'm so glad I engaged with God's church, with God's people, and I'm so glad it got to be at Mosaic for however long that season was, and I'm so glad we got to be a part of seeing others come to know Jesus as their Savior. That's the invitation. Let's pray. God, thank you so much for who you are, for what you're doing in our lives and in our stories. God, I thank you that we get to be a part of this spiritual house. What a privilege that you have invited us to be a part of your family and that we get to call Mosaic home. I'm so grateful for this church. I'm so grateful for this people. And God, I pray that you would continue to make us more and more and more enamored with who you are. God, that we would be more and more and more grateful for what you have done, that we would love you with all of our hearts and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength, and that we would love our neighbors, our family, like we love ourselves. And God, as a result, I pray that we would carry the light into the darkness, and I can't wait to see how the gates of hell crumble as a result. God, we love you, and we thank you that we get to be recipients of your mercy, and also participants in extending your mercy to others. We who were orphaned because of our sin are now invited to become sons and daughters because of your grace and mercy and what you did, Jesus, on the cross. God, I pray that you would give us grace, that you would give us peace, God, that you would give us joy in following after you. And may people look in on that and desire to do the same. God, we love you and we're grateful. It's all these things that we pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.